Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know what I was just doing during the break, and I don't know why I fall into this vortex. I'm arguing with a Knicks fan about why Kevin Durant was signed with the Knicks. And he's telling me it's all basketball. He wants to be the man. It's the Mecca, you know. And I'm telling him, dude, that's fine. If you get him, you should party. You should be very excited. But come on, don't talk yourself into that. It's all business, man. It's why LeBron went to L.A. It's business. That's fine. Who cares why he does it? It doesn't matter. But I'm in a vortex now. I'm stuck in this Nick vortex. I just need to get out of it. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses are only at ShopRite. And trust me, I promise you, because I think I'm consistent. At least try to be. If by some fluke Kevin Durant signed with the Nets, I swear to you I'd say the same thing. I swear. Ernie, you believe me, right? I'd say the exact same thing.
Yeah, he'd say the same.
Thank you. I'd be happy, but I'd be cautious about, you know, this guy's not really here for the basketball. He's here for the business. Anyhow, this guy's also here for the business. He's not here because he wants to talk to me about the Yankees, let's be honest. And that's Sweeney Murdy. Hi, Sweeney.
You know what's funny? Every time I think about the Knicks now, I go back. I first started working at FAN in 1993, and the Rangers drought was, you know, this huge thing. It
yes.
was 53 years. It was going to be 54. It's going to be 47 next year for the Knicks.
I know.
I mean, you're approaching your Rangers-esque territory.
That's what, and Joe has said that, not as much about the Knicks, but about the Jets, how we used to,
yep.
And you're so right. I mean, I grew up as a kid hearing 1940, and yet we have other teams in this town, as you said, that are approaching that. We're going to have multiple teams with that.
Let's face it, except for the Yankees and the Giants, you've got teams that have, the Mets have two in, what, 50, how many years now?
62, so 57.
Yeah, so two in almost 60 years,
yep.
right?
Yep.
The Rangers have one in the last 70-something years.
Right.
The Knicks have two in their history, and one, the last one was 46, going on 47 years ago now, if you're going to count next season.
Yep.
Who am I missing? You know,
well,
the
Islanders had a dynasty, but since the dynasty, this is the first time
Correct.
They're hosting a playoff series since 1988. The Nets have zero NBA titles, two ABA titles. The Devils actually are the one we kind of have
that's
to throw
right.
in
Forget
there.
The Devils. They had a really good run.
Yeah.
And been a consistently good franchise for a long time, so I always forget them. But, when people say, you can't rebuild in New York, that's more teams in this market rebuild constantly than do not.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need, and by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealers. Visit MBUSA.com. We'll get to Severino in a second, but, you know, I certainly will tell you when we talk, I criticize a lot of Aaron Boone's decisions. I'm not going nuts about last night, and this is my rationale, and you could tell me, Evan, it has nothing to do with that. I look at Tanaka as the most valuable starting pitcher they have right now. They have got to keep him healthy. And this is a guy who for years now has been pitching with this partially torn UCL. Severino had a setback. And so while I think Yankee fans look at the pitch count and they look at how good he was getting out of that jam in the sixth inning and they say, how the heck does he not come out for the seventh? I understand why you want to be cautious with Masahiro Tanaka. And that's why I can't get nuts about Boone's decision. Give me your thoughts on that call that Aaron made last night.
I actually thought you were going to go the other way, that you were going to be among those who looked at the pitch count and said, why didn't he come back? I was actually surprised the pitch count was as low as it was when I looked up after the sixth inning, because I looked at, you know, how hard he had to work to get out of that sixth inning, it felt like, and I guess it shows you how efficient he was earlier on in the game. But the fact that he was at 78, it felt like it was more. So maybe that plays into it, the idea that, and I think Boone mentioned that, the idea of, you know, him working hard to get through that sixth inning. they didn't bring in, you know, any of the lesser arms in the pen. You know, they brought in Britton and Ottavino. They paid these guys an awful lot of money. These are the types of games that they're supposed to win. You know, I can see the idea of protecting Tanaka, although I look at it this way. You have a chance to win this game.
Right.
You have to take a chance to win this game. Now, you have two more off days. You have two games and then an off day. So you could maybe have guys, if you didn't go to those guys right there, maybe you have somebody available for back-to-back in these next two games. But I think you had to take the opportunity to try to win last night's game. And the guys who get paid a lot of money to do it are the ones who give the runs. That's been a little of the distressing part here. I know relievers are going to give up runs, but if you look at the five Yankee losses, you know, Green has given up runs late. Chapman has given up runs late. Last night it was Britton and Ottavino. It's all happened in a short period of time, and it's the difference between a 5-5 start and maybe a 7-3 start.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You're right in that 90% of the time, if it's a different pitcher, different circumstance, I would be saying the guy's got to be out there. My example is, if that's Jacob DeGrom, of course he should be out there. And if it's Jay Happ, should be out there. I'll give you a Yankee. I think with Tanaka, I just look at it differently because I know what he's been doing. I mean, he has been pitching, I don't want to say injured for a few years because I know he's not injured, but he's pitching the way Adam Wainwright did for a couple of years. And I think with him, you almost have to be a little bit more cautious than you are with Jay Happ. And that's the thing. Like on Saturday, when Aaron Boone took Jay Happ out with one out in the fifth inning with a pitch count of 88, that one I didn't agree with. See, I would have let Happ try to get through the fifth inning. He's a pro. So I think situations are different. And so I think most of the time, Sweeney, I'm with you. Guys' pitch count's that low. Even if he had to battle through the sixth inning, hey, let me let him start the seventh inning. I don't care how good my bullpen is. I just think with him, I just look at him differently.
I think the problem with Happ on Saturday wasn't necessarily pitch count. It's something that I saw Joe Girardi do a few times as well. The next batter, Mancini, had taken two really good at-bats against Happ, homer and a double. And if you do that, you're generally not getting a chance to face the guy a third time if you can help it. And I think that's kind of along the lines of where that went. I used to see Girardi do it all the time, and Boone did that, I think, on Saturday.
You know, it worked out because the Yankees scored 15 runs and Domingo Germán was awesome. But I think that was another reason why I would have kept Happ in. I knew I had Germán the next day. I didn't know I was going to get six innings out of him, and the Yankees would score 15 runs. And when you go to the bullpen that early, you could be compromising yourself the next day. I'm just being fair because I thought about that. Obviously, that turned out not to be the case because they won going away, and they barely, you know, they used Luis Sessa for a couple of innings on Sunday.
And we'll see, you know, with Loaiza going tonight, you know, Ottavino's a guy that, you know, he's been used a lot. He was used for pieces of two innings last night, so my guess is they wouldn't use him today. But we'll see. You know, Loaiza is going to be key here. You know, results aside, I said this after the game last night. I thought last night was the best game that we've gotten to watch all year.
It was a good game.
Of the 10 games the Yankees have played, it was a good game. Yep. It was a relatively clean game without a lot of, you know, messy stuff happening on the base paths or in the field. You had good players on both sides making plays that resulted in the ball game. So, and I thought about this. The idea of Judge batting second paid off last night in theory, because he took his fifth turn at bat last night with two outs in the ninth inning by batting second.
Yeah.
If he's and a chance to tie the ball game with one swing.
Now, you know what? Some of these new age thoughts are pretty basic stuff. I mean, it's basic. If a guy hits higher in the order, there's a better chance he's getting more plate appearances. It's a very simple concept. It's not that complicated, and you're right. On a night like last night, he's batting second. If he's hitting third, he doesn't get an at-bat. And I know that doesn't happen every single time. I understand that.
Sure.
A lot of times it turns out to be the same, but it's simple math. The higher you hit in the order, the earlier the at-bats, obviously, and the better chance that you get more plate appearances. It's just simple stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, I think we all expected a little bit of a comeback offensively when you're facing Verlander, and you've got Garrett Cole tonight. They put some really good at-bats together against Verlander last night. Verlander and Tanaka pitched the same number of innings. Verlander threw 33 more pitches
yeah.
in, in the same number of innings. That was a really good game against a good pitcher.
And I think it was even better than that, in that there was only 1-1-2-3 inning, and that was a very quick inning. So if you take that inning away, it shows you what they did against Justin Verlander in the five other innings. They had a lot of long at-bats, and they got guys on base. They had opportunities. You get three runs against Verlander, it's a win, but they really made him work very hard over the course of that game.
The third inning, they could have made him work harder. Sanchez and Torres swung very early. I think both were first pitches, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But they swung very early in the count, yep, with bases loaded and one out. And the Yankees only managed that one run. And here's another example of, okay, the Yankees scored that inning without a home run, but they scored one run. They didn't get an extra base hit. They drew two walks and two singles. One of the singles was just a station to station, only scored one guy from third. So the power is part of their game because it drives in multiple runs, or has the ability to put up big numbers. Whereas last night, they brought seven men to the plate in the third inning and only scored one run.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez popping up with a runner on third and less than two out. That's the killer right there. There's your chance to pick up an extra run. Let's get to Severino. We're talking to Sweeney Murdy. I think every Yankee fan is panicked right now. I think they're very, very worried. Well, what do you think's going on right now? What do you think's going to happen with Luis Severino?
Well, their initial MRI only showed inflammation. Now, if they go back in and see that there was a tear that they didn't see the first time, then, you know, and I'm just speculating here, then it's obviously cause for greater concern. But the fact that there is something that doesn't feel right tells you maybe there was something more than inflammation that they couldn't see. It is troubling because, you know, he had taken a little bit longer to kind of get going. And even Aaron Boone was saying, we're asking him when he's going to get on the mound. And they're just waiting for him to say, yeah, I'm ready to go. And there was nothing about the way he was going about his long toss program that where he said, yeah, I feel great, let's go. I think when you go through the first step in the process and you say, okay, shut him down for 10 days, whatever, you just wait to see how he responds before you overreact to whatever is going to happen. Well, he hasn't responded well. So there's a great deal more concern right now. Even best case scenario, if their MRI today says, nope, nothing else wrong, he just got to knock this out, you're still talking about another 2 weeks later than what you even hoped was best case. So you're playing at least a month of this season, maybe closer to two, without a guy you think is your best pitcher. And that's the troublesome part before you even know what today's MRI results say.
What is the status of Gio Gonzalez? So I think whenever we hear a setback like this, you start to think about it and say, okay, what's he doing? I know he made one, I don't know if I call it a rehab start.
Triple A start. It was a minor league start. He got hammered, and he starts again tonight. So his turn comes up again tonight for Triple A Scranton Wilkes-Barre, and we'll be keeping a close eye on that box score to see how his results go, especially after, if we get any news today, on Severino's exam. So he's got, let's see, today is April 9th, so he would theoretically start again on the 14th or the 15th, or let's say I don't know their schedule off the top of my head, so let's say the 14th or the 19th, he has an out on the 20th. So you've got at least two, maybe three more starts before he can exercise that out and you have to make a decision.
And they're going to call him up, right? I mean, especially with the setback to Severino?
I think it depends on what they, you know, Sabathia is coming back, so they can take, I would guess Loaisiga out of the rotation. The way Herman's been pitching, I think you want, you know, really comes down to, do you need to make that move, or is Domingo Herman pitching well enough? You know, I mean, Gio Gonzalez has to force their hand.
Right.
It can't just be that the out is there. I mean, if he's getting hammered his next three starts,
yeah,
Domingo Herman's better. So
yeah,
Don't make that move. So he has, I mean, you have to see a really good game tonight and then a really good game his next time out in order to say, okay, is he going to make us better right now?
No, and I like Gio Gonzalez, but Domingo Herman has looked good. I think he showed flashes last year to begin with. You mentioned CeCe's coming back, so that's taking the Loaisiga spot. And so you're not putting him in the bullpen. You're not, like, adding Gio and making him a relief pitcher. Luis Cess has
Correct.
Been fine in that role, so yeah, I mean, I think it's possible that in 11 days he's not here. I guess it's possible. Seems likely.
Listen, everybody wanted him to sign. That's great. But now he has to pitch in order to to get his spot. You know, the Yankees had a month free look at him with this minor league deal. And he's now, you know, whatever happened with the long, you know, absence from spring training, it's up to him to kind of get over that and put up the results here if he wants this this spot with the Yankees. I mean, they're not going to call him up if he's not pitching well. And then it's up to him. Does he want to keep going, or does he want to take this out? Is there a place somewhere else? I would think the only reason for him to take the out would be if he knows of an opportunity somewhere else that, right, you know, kind of like on the down low tampering tells you that, yeah, I think you could get this spot if you opt out of your Yankees contract.
Yeah, I can't believe Keuchel is still out there and Kimbrel is still out there, and Kimbrel's not going back to Fenway for the ring ceremony, so clearly he's still bitter. I mean, he won't even go there. I'm starting to think he's going to sit out the year, Craig Kimbrel specifically, because
that'd be crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy, but if he is going to be steadfast that this is what I want, I don't think as the days go by he has a better chance of getting it by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, and as a reliever, he's the guy that just the way the game is going, he's the guy that there will be multiple situations during the course of the year where a team can say, he's a fit for us.
Sure.
And is probably a better bet to more immediately deliver than a guy like Keuchel, who wasn't coming off a good year to begin with and is a guy that needs to be built up and prove again that he is, you know, he's not, this isn't the guy who won the Cy Young Award 4 years ago. So I think that's part of the trepidation with the terms that are being talked about, and the idea that you have arms, and from the Yankee perspective, you have arms in your organization that you feel pretty good about right now, compared to, you know, it's not simply about cost. You don't know what you're going to get with Dallas Keuchel right now.
Yeah, we're talking to Sweeney about the Yankees. Giovanni Urshela, I remember him with the Indians a couple of years ago. He was the defensive guy at third base, didn't have much of a bat, but he had a couple of hits on Sunday. He drew a walk that started that rally in the third inning, got robbed of a base hit, and you could see it defensively. The guy is a hell of a third baseman. You've got DJ LeMahieu at his natural position. So Tyler Wade is basically done as an everyday player already. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've taken the opportunity to shore up their defense. You know, and Wade, after a couple of times, and I've been fair with him his last couple of call-ups and saying, you know, not everybody comes out of the gate and hits, you know, 400, you know, it's an adjustment process, but he didn't necessarily have the time to do it this time. He needed the results right away in order to justify more playing time and didn't get them. I still talk to people around the league who believe he's going to be a good player. It's just that the situation the Yankees are in right now, it's probably one with so many injuries. It's one that they could not afford to kind of let him find a rhythm at all. And he's now more of your bench guy, with Urshela taking on more of an everyday role. LeMahieu was already taking on an everyday role. And, you know, they are a good defensive team. They are a better defensive infield right now with Urshela than they were with Andujar. And, you know, whatever combination you want to put at second base.
Urshela can play D. I mean, there's no question about that. He may not be much of a hitter. I know he's off to a nice start, but I think he's a career 230 hitter. But there's no question what he can do defensively. And DJ LeMahieu is a Gold Glove caliber second baseman. And I think with Gleyber at shortstop, he's only going to get better. He's a natural shortstop. We all know that. I think the small sample we saw of him at shortstop last year wasn't fair for what kind of player he is defensively. He's only going to get better. So their infield defense is pretty damn good. Obviously, you still want Andujar back, and you want Didi, but you want your guys back. But right now, that's a very sturdy infield defense they've got going.
Yeah, Torres is a good shortstop. He rates much higher at second base defensively when you're trying to draw it up that way.
My question to that, though, is how do they do that when there is such a small sample size of him playing shorts? Are they judging what he did in the minors when you say stuff like something like that?
I think, you know, the guys I talk to, they talk about just tools. They look at whether it's minors, whether it's in the majors. They look at the skill sets and say he is better suited at second base than he is at shortstop.
Okay.
That's not to say he's terrible at shortstop. He is obviously quite capable at shortstop. But with range and everything, like, you know, his range isn't quite what you maybe want for a shortstop. Maybe it's negated when you start shifting a little bit. I think a lot of the range stuff can be negated by by defensive positioning, but just from the skill sets, they think he plays up more at second than he does at short.
And Clint Frazier's look really good. And yesterday was impressive because he got those two hits against Justin Verlander, including just missing a home run. So this is big for him because he missed out on all the opportunities he could have had last year when there were injuries specifically to Aaron Judge. But last couple of days, he's looked great, Sweeney.
Frazier is doing what Wade wasn't able to do, what we just said. You know, get an opportunity and kind of start hitting right away. And that's what you're looking for. You know, it's the one of the, I had one member of the organization tell me that maybe the biggest injury they've had to overcome is the Hicks injury because of his two-way presence defensively and his on-base ability, putting him at the top of the order, the number of walks he draws and things like that. Plus obviously the power that he showed last year out of that spot. So getting production from Frazier really is huge there. And if he can continue to do that, it, you know, it obviously lessens the pressure to bring back Hicks. We still don't know, like, he's kind of just starting baseball activities. So, I mean, you're still weeks away here. I think the interesting thing is going to be, you know, you play out what Frazier does for the next few weeks until Hicks is ready. I still look at Gardner and say, and I know how much they value him defensively to the point that, you know, they want him to play. And it's not about late inning defense. You know, to some degree, the Yankees negate late inning defense with all their strikeout pitchers. But I feel like Brett Gardner is a guy they want to start and they want to play. Mm. So it's going to be interesting to see what Frazier does for the next few weeks and what happens when Hicks eventually comes back, who's a guy that they obviously want to be a starting player too.
But none of these guys feel close. Like the nine guys we saw out right there yesterday, that seems to be the nine guys that are going to roll out there for at least the next 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I agree. Dellin Betances is getting closer. CC Sabathia will be back this weekend. So you'll feel a little bit more whole of the pitching staff. But position player-wise, and Duhar isn't really close to anything. Hicks is still weeks away, as we said. I mean, you know, Tulo is, they're going to keep him on that, you know, rest him for a period of time before they start trying to do anything. And it only happened a few days ago. So that's not anything close either. So, yeah, you're looking at a group that, you know, the 12 position players that you have here, these are the guys you're going to run out there as long as nothing else happens.
Now, I love the turning point contest. I do. I love playing along. Who picked yesterday's turning point? Because I think they got it wrong. Was that you? Should I blame you, or am I picking on Jack?
Yeah, I did. Sure. What? Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Come on, Trina.
What did I pick? What did I pick?
You don't even remember?
No.
The game-winning infield hit by Carlos Correa. To me, it's the
Chirinos. You wanted the Chirinos double?
Absolutely. Changed the entire game. All right, good. Now I'm going to get you to change your mind on your DH, and we're in business.
No, no chance.
All right. I'll try. Yeah. Sweeney?
I mean, I won't argue with you. I picked it. I'm not going to change my mind. All right, I picked it. You know what's funny about that play is that there was, no matter how you played it out, that run was going to score. Like, even if Bird and Ottavino had figured out how to get the out, like, the only out they could have gotten was the first base.
Right.
So that run scores.
It wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, the next two guys struck out anyway, and that was the difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? And a lot of times this isn't true, even though it feels this way. There sometimes is a play in a baseball game in which you just feel like, okay, the game is over. And I felt, just watching this, independent observer, obviously, that when Chirinos hit that double up the alley, I felt the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Yankees are not winning this game. And it took an inning, obviously, because the next hitter didn't come through. Ottavino came in and got a big out, and it just turned out to be true. But it just felt like that was the true turning point of the game. But you know what, Sween? You're almost perfect, so you made a mistake. It happens. What can you do?
You know, you know why we know who's right? I'm right, because what is the turning point of the game? The guy who won the contest said, what did he answer?
You fixed it, though. I mean, come on.
I didn't fix it.
You fixed it by being the creator of it, so the creator can never be wrong is what you're saying.
That's exactly right, my
there
friend.
You go.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Sweeney.
See ya.
Sweeney Murdy on the Yankees.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.